Janae and Gola Jr., the podcast.
The only show, mercifully, that is out here slinging the nog for the masses. Janae and Gola Jr. here on ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus. Mike Gola Jr., Janae Agumake. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests join us on the show, Pennzoil Performance Line. And it has been a fast and furious day around here so far. If you couldn't tell by the way I tried to sandwich a read unnecessarily into the last segment
that we were in. Please.
We are efforting that right now to try and make me sound even dumber than I already do. We'll give myself a chance at redemption coming up in about 10 minutes, though, because it's top five, bottom five day around here at Janae and Gola Jr. We give you the best and the worst from the NFL weekend that was and get you caught up on all of that. We're excited for that, obviously. We are also excited to talk to our next guest, as we are joined now on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line by FanDuel NBA analyst Rob Perez with us here now. You know him on Twitter as Worldwide Wob. And Rob, I got to ask, are you at that point? Because obviously I feel like I've known you through Twitter like a lot of people. Do people just call you that in real life on the street at this point?
They do. You know, I get a lot of variations of it, but I'd start to say that Wob is probably the most popular at the moment. My mom calls me Robbie, if that means anything to you.
It's a fair point. My mom calls me Mikey, so I feel like moms are allowed to add that last little bit to it, make it special all their own. So either way, we appreciate the time, and we know it's a busy time right now. You mentioned last night, it is a bit of Russian roulette when it comes to the Woj bombs and the notifications that are sitting and waiting out there. So looking at what we got already, Jrue Holiday going to the Bucks. I'm just going to ask it simply, is it enough to keep Giannis?
I'm going to say yes, and I'm going to say yes because they don't make that trade and give up what they gave up. I mean, we're talking about a half a decade's worth of picks, talking about Eric Bledsoe's contract, all of the future commitments for Jrue Holiday. It wasn't LeBron James, it wasn't Kawhi Leonard, not Kevin Durant. It was just for Jrue Holiday. You're not giving up that type of package, that Godfather package that David Griffin swung for Anthony Davis, that same type of deal for Jrue Holiday. And you do that because you had the conversation with Giannis Antetokounmpo that they had privately after the bubble ended. How can we improve this team? How can we make you happy? And if Jrue Holiday's name came up in that conversation, yes, of course, the Milwaukee Bucks were probably only bidding against themselves and maybe a little bit of the Denver Nuggets. But if they were going to go above and beyond, Jrue Holiday is worth a lot more than just Jrue Holiday if it keeps Giannis Antetokounmpo in Milwaukee.
Yeah, I'd have to agree. Jrue Holiday, absolutely an underrated player in the NBA. Here with Rob Perez, FanDuel NBA analyst, also known on the social streets as Worldwide Wob. Thanks for joining us here on Janae and Gola Jr. Now, switching gears to my hometown, Houston, there's a lot of rumors swirling around James Harden potentially in Brooklyn. How do you see that working or not working?
I mean, how much time you got, Janae?
Like, enough for you, my friend.
How much time you got? Because we're talking about on paper here, if we're assembling a video game team, an NBA 2K team, with Kyrie Irving, Kevin Durant, and James Harden on it, that team goes 82-0 and doesn't lose. But the last time I checked, there's only one ball on the court at once. So who exactly is getting the last shot in a one-point game down the stretch? Is it Kyrie? Is it Harden? Or is it Durant? Now, I understand these guys are all buddies, and they probably have a lot of business together as well. Hell, there's even rumors that they have been training together during the offseason. But they have completely different styles. And also, when Harden and Durant were playing together in Oklahoma City, that's when James Harden was sixth man of the year. He was off ball cutting. He wasn't a ball dominant 35% usage guy. Is he willing to be that in Brooklyn? I don't know the answers to those questions, but I need to see it play out before I'm ever a believer.
It seems like a lot to try and stuff in one bag right there, but I just hearing all that, who takes the last shot in that instance, the first thing that would flash into my mind is somehow still Russell Westbrook. Somehow, even if he's not on the team, he is the one taking that last shot. That being said, Rob, are you excited to watch Russell Westbrook in Madison Square Garden?
Oh, man. Like, a lot of people listening to this know I'm a Knicks fan, so maybe I'm a little biased in towards this, but the Knicks have finally cleansed themselves of all the bad contracts from the Allen Houston days, which made the NBA come out with an amnesty clause so that the Knicks couldn't do this to themselves. And now we've gotten to the point that the books are clean. You're building through the draft. You're kind of trusting your own process in a way. And I can't think of a quicker way to ruin that than bring on a guy who's making north of $45 million a year, well past his prime. Granted, he is Russell Westbrook. He's an MVP. The argument is that he will change the culture in the locker room. He'll get these guys committed to winning. And I totally am willing to hear that. But the Knicks are just not in a place where they're going to be relevant, let alone a championship contender anytime soon. So why would you give up all of that cap space when you can go out and get one of those five guys potentially in the next couple of years that their mere presence on your team guarantees you championship aspirations? Russell Westbrook is not that. And I don't trust him being a good enough locker room guy to make R.J. Barrett, Kevin Knox, and Mitchell Robinson into the Oklahoma City 2011 finals team.
Yeah, that's a lot coming from New York, and I get why you feel that way 100%. I'm starting to feel like that, you know, considering my Rockets team seems like it's imploding. But I want to, you know, go to something that's a little bit brighter, Rob, because this week, tomorrow, we have the NBA draft, and there's a lot of young talents that are going to have their lives changed. And most notably, LaMelo Ball is someone that I think a lot of people have high up in the draft. Are you excited, or what excites you most importantly about LaMelo Ball entering the fold as a Ball brother? Because, I mean, I stood next to him a couple years back, I was like, oh, I get it. This guy's like 6'6", 6'5", and able to be a point guard and can shoot. Where do you see that sort of working, considering that Minnesota has the first pick, and then we've got the Warriors who got lucky, the rich get richer at two?
What's crazy is you mentioned he's 6'5". I think I saw somewhere he's now 6'7". I mean, is the kid just going to keep growing to 7 feet at this point? Because we're used to seeing him 14 years old in Lithuania pointing to half court that he's going to pull up from 45 feet. That's the LaMelo Ball that went viral throughout the years, right? But now that he's growing into himself and becoming this full man adult and he's at the top of the draft here, who's going to take him? Now, the top three picks here, you've got Minnesota Timberwolves going first, the Warriors second, and the Hornets third. I'm a little weary if I'm a Minnesota Timberwolves executive and drafting LaMelo Ball for the same concept of Kyrie Irving, Harden, and Durant in Brooklyn. There's only one Ball, and D'Angelo Russell needs a lot of it. Okay, I'm not even talking about Karl Anthony Towns yet, but if we're putting two point guards out there at once in LaMelo Ball and D'Angelo Russell with Cat's defense, that team is going to give up 150 points a night. They're going to be exciting as hell to watch. Don't get me wrong, but I just don't see a good fit there as opposed to someone like an Anthony Edwards. So for me, I'm going Edwards 1, Wiseman 2. And if you're the Charlotte Hornets and you can't buy relevancy in free agency and you are sick of being in 9th and 10th place in the Eastern Conference every year, mediocrity is the worst place to be in the NBA. Why not draft it in LaMelo Ball? So if they miss out on LaMelo Ball, that's going to be a team whose name is probably going to come up a lot more for Russell Westbrook because of the affiliation with Michael Jordan and the Jordan brand sneaker as well. So I would look for them to go LaMelo Ball, maybe to save them from having to go out and get Russell Westbrook.
Rob Perez with us at Worldwide Wob on the Dr. Pepper Twitter feed, FanDuel NBA analyst on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Rob, before we let you go, Twitter unveiled the fleets today. Are you buying in on that at this point? What's your status on those?
What's the saying? If you can't beat them, join them. And I think Twitter is now the fourth social media platform to integrate stories. You know, we can't get an edit button, but we could get stories. So thank God for that, right? I haven't used it yet, nor have I seen anyone that I follow use it. So I'm still a newbie to all this. And if it's content that I want the world to see, wouldn't I just put it on my timeline? Why do I need to put it into a fleet? Is it just lesser content going there? These are the questions I think about.
These are the questions. I have one platform that I think could save them. They've got to buy Woj. Like, if they can get Woj to exclusively drop bombs on the fleets, I feel like they've got a chance. Other than that, I'm with you. I think at this point, just give us the edit button that we all want.
Thank you.
And let us go from there. Follow him on Twitter, at Worldwide Wob. Check him out, FanDuel, NBA analyst. Rob, we appreciate the time, man. We'll talk
to
you
Rob.
Soon.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Rob Perez with us on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. And it's interesting, Chinay. The Hornets become an interesting one to talk about in this relative to the Russell Westbrook situation, but just him in general as a player, a lot to figure out and what to do there. A lot to also figure out and unpack from this weekend. Coming up next, a team I never imagined putting in my top five this season finds its way not just in, but deep in. We'll get to who that is next. It's Chinay Ngolick Jr. here on ESPN Radio.
Chinay Ngolick Jr., the podcast.
Ngolick Jr. here on ESPN Radio. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Mike Golic Jr., Chinea Igwumike. And it's Tuesday around these parts, which means we've digested a full NFL weekend now. We get ready to do a little top five, bottom five here. I get to be the breath of fresh air, the glass half full guy that I usually am around here, and hit you with the top five. Chinea's bottom five coming in a little bit after we talk to our very own Dan Orlovsky in about 10 minutes. So a lot of good football coming up, which is good because we need a palate cleanser at this point.
We do.
I have been struggling a little bit today.
Yeah.
I have not done the job of being a radio host very well on a couple of different fronts. And, Chinea, I had to watch you almost pass out laughing when we were interviewing Rob Perez in that last second because of it.
Yo, so you said something that sounded like something else, and now you get the dump button, even though it wasn't a dump button. But that was comedy. Like, I did not think I was going to make it.
So
I was going to sing again, but I'm not going to sing.
So we're going to get back to Chinea singing because that'll be a lot better. But here is what happened in the last two segments for me. Now, Devin, I want to start with the read that happened here. Because before we get to me cursing on air, we've got all these reads that we have to do. ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive's Home Insurance. Get your quote at Progressive.com today. We love Progressive. We love our sponsors. We do all this. I made the mistake of thinking that towards the end of last hour, we've got the hard network out. You watch the Levitard Show guys rail Greg Cody with it all the time. That I needed to somehow squeeze this in. I did not have to do this. And yet, the Busta Rhymes of ESPN Radio himself showed up to snap bars on this one. Devin, play the track. This is not sped up for anyone. This is not enhanced in any way. This is me in real time giving it to you. ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Progressive's Home Quote Explorer is changing the way you buy home insurance. Now you can get a quote online, custom quote, and save both time and money. Learn more at Progressive.com. I'm sorry. I am gifted.
At least we know when the pressure's on, you deliver.
It is unnecessary pressure completely. I did not have to do that, but I still did. Oh, no.
What else did you do?
What is going on? Cliff?
You don't think you actually read that fast, do you?
All right, listen. I wasn't going to let the truth get in the way of a good story. I
sped that up.
Oh, you got me, too.
Which is ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Progressive's Home Quote Explorer is changing the way you buy home insurance. Now you can get a quote online, custom quote, and save both time and money. Learn more at Progressive.com. Yeah, it
sounds...
Like you
hear the speed in there. Come on.
I was trying to let the audience run with the fact, why can't you guys just let me be great when I'm bad?
And if you're going to play him, don't play me, too. At least let me in on the joke.
Hey, I was about to let you in, but then it was too late, and then you're 3,000 miles away, so it's a little bit difficult, and then, you know how that goes.
So here, they don't play me once, now they play me twice, because again, we're talking to Rob Perez, FanDuel NBA analyst who just joined
yourself,
us on the show.
Continue.
And I had a little bit of a slip of the tongue right here, and so here it is, and here they make it sound worse than it is with the beep button. Go ahead and play this, Devin. My mom calls me Mikey, so I feel like moms are allowed to add that last little bit to it.
My God.
All right.
Jesus.
See, again, like, you throw the beep button on there. I said ass, all right? And you throw the beep button in there. What, dump it?
Oh, snap.
So, you tell me we don't have to beep it, and then you beep it and tell me that? I feel like
I like my job, Junior. I like my job.
I wish that's what you said.
Unbelievable. Chinea Igwumike Jr. here on ESPN Radio for a little while longer at this rate.
At least put it in context. Like, well, never mind. Keep going.
There's no context for that situation. I'm being set up. You know what? Now I see what it is. The plot is to set me up to fail from everyone around me right now. So I'm going to bail myself out right now by using imaging. Let's go to NFL Top 5 for the week.
Which teams were great?
Great spectacle at the 15, 10, 5, touchdown!
What player was not?
Does he hang on? Intercepted! He couldn't hang on!
This is the NFL Top 5, Bottom 5.
I'm drunk off the fleets right now.
Let's go.
Too
I
much
love
power.
It.
Way too much power.
This is my favorite Junior. Give him hard outs every segment. Go.
What do we got? Number 5.
Number 5.
And even though you won't do anything nice for me, we got a lot of fans around this building, around this show, of the New York Football Giants checking in at number 5 right now. Not because I think they're a great football team, but because they're making a lot out of what they have right now. They get a 27-17 win over the Eagles, where Daniel Jones, they uncaged the lion, the gazelle on the ground, leads the team in rushing. Wayne Gallman out there with 2 touchdowns, a guy who I've been loving on coming out of Clemson since 2016, backing up Saquon Barkley. This team has found a way. Joe Judge has gotten buy-in there, which in year one during a pandemic is about all you can ask for, and they feel like they've gotten that much, Janae.
And everyone was nervous as Daniel Jones ran, and he delivered, finally. Yay. Glad for him.
One
sigh of relief.
No longer sneaky athletic. Daniel Jones is full-blown. Number 4.
Number 4.
I'm putting Nick Chubb in the top five for making the smart football play on this one. He helped Chinay's fantasy team out by not getting those points off touchdown as the game is getting ready to go to a close. The opposing team's got no timeouts. Nick Chubb busts a 90-yard run and remembers at the 10-yard line he was coached up to run out of bounds so they could kneel down and end the game with no funny business. And it cost bettors and it cost fantasy players, but Chinay, we reward smart football around here.
Absolutely. I'm glad he's back in the fantasy lineup because he's the one that gave me 18 points. Continue.
Number three. We talked about Monday Night Football and what an unmitigated offensive disaster that was. Number three goes out to the Bears defense. Showing up and shoring out, they scored a touchdown. Roquan Smith, 14 tackles, a sack, 3 tackles for loss. He's been playing monster ball lately. This defense has had to overcome a lot, and I just want to make sure that even if the win-loss column isn't showing them love as of late, we're still going to show you love here, Chinay.
You know what's funny? I'm actually thinking in my bottom five I should have put the other side of the spectrum. Food for thought. Still have time.
We still got time to workshop that. Do not worry. We are not done. Let's keep it moving.
Number two
on the list. Meme and Bill Belichick. Because, yeah, the Patriots managed to get a win in a rain-soaked game against the Ravens. But what does that really matter unless you have positively impacted the world of memes the way Bill Belichick did this weekend, being lectured by an official, distraught with the news that he has heard in that process, and finds himself put into that picture, put into a meme. And I feel like, Chinay, Bill Belichick has given us a lot in his career, but meme-worthy moments is something that, as of late, he's been especially great at.
He's been 100% consistent on that. And that reminds me of the meme where it's like the guy with the sound like...
Oh, the headphones meme.
The headphones, yep.
All plays very well for us in an audio medium right now as we try and verbally explain memes to everyone. Let's finish this off, Cliff.
Number one.
No other place we can go with this. And shout out to the guys over at Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zuba. And I heard this term on their show, the Hail Murray.
Oh, Hail Murray.
Kyler Murray to DeAndre Hopkins for the catch heard round the world. A lot of free advertising for Nike in the process as that picture went viral. But Chinay, just an unbelievable effort from both of those guys. Kyler Murray dodging tacklers to get that ball off. And then DeAndre Hopkins goes up between three defenders and makes it work. Unbelievable. I'm sorry, I just saw Christine Lisi walk into the room. Does our SportsCenter updates, the world's foremost Buffalo Bills fan, and now she's angry with me, and I feel terrible about this.
Yeah, you should feel bad about that. Possibly the best quarterback wide receiver duo in the NFL. I mean, I like Devontae Adams and Aaron Rodgers, but still, up there.
Patrick Mahomes, Tyreek Hill, probably going to be the leader in the clubhouse for me, but I think these guys are probably third, right behind those two you just mentioned. And closing in fast at this rate, this is year one for these mutants. Good Lord. That is our NFL top five here on Chinay Ngola Jr. We got the bottom five coming up in just a little bit. But coming up next, let's go inside the mind and inside that moment of a play like that Hail Murray with a guy who's lived it once or twice. We'll do that next after this word from Mercedes-Benz. You ever wonder how far an extra mile really goes? Drive a Mercedes-Benz van and find out. Start with a network of over 250 authorized dealerships, backed by a sales force ready to help you with everything from customization to service on vans like Mercedes-Benz Sprinter that's tailored to your lifestyle. With options like Blind Spot Assist and MBUX voice command technology for directions, weather, and more. So whether you're enjoying life out on the trail or working hard in the job, see how far an extra mile can really go by taking the first step into an authorized Mercedes-Benz dealership today. Mercedes-Benz van dealership today. And now, with IRS Section 179, businesses could be eligible for up to a $25,900 tax deduction. That's up to $5,439 in tax savings. Options and mod availability may vary. See dealer for details about costs and terms. Some equipment described is optional. That $5,439 tax savings is based on a 21% federal tax rate, and eligibility to claim the full $25,900 Section 179 vehicle deduction. Your tax rate and eligibility may vary. Consult your tax advisor for more information. Limits may apply. Visit mbvans.com. Offer valid through December 31st, 2020. Back after this, it's Chinay Ngola Jr.
Chinay Ngola Jr., the podcast.
Chinay Ngola Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golick Jr., Chinay Ogunwoke, we're presented by Progressive Insurance, and our guests join us on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. And that's where we head to now, because if we're going to talk NFL and we're going to talk quarterbacks, there's only one person I want to talk to, Janae, I know you feel the same way. Dan Orlovsky, our ESPN NFL analyst, joins us now here. And Dan, I'm curious. We were just talking, and I saw you did a breakdown of this online about Kyler Murray's Hail Mary and what goes into that. Everyone's got a part on every play. So as an offensive lineman, I was just focused on, all right, I'm probably going to get a double team, make sure we give them time. What's it like breaking the huddle as a quarterback, knowing you're about to go and try and execute one of the most improbable plays in football?
Yeah, I mean, the first thing is just like, making sure the ball leaves your hand. You know, there's nothing more frustrating than, like, watching television a Hail Mary situation and these quarterbacks just, like, take a sack. So I don't care what it looks like. Just the thought process is get the ball out of your hand somehow, some way. And then, you know, I was never good at this, but, like, just trying to be as creative as possible. You know, a lot of times you have to climb above the X's and O's, which is what Kyler did, and scramble around and create some time to allow those receivers or whoever to go downfield and get to, I guess, a jump position. But, you know, the fascinating part, Mike, with the Kyler one was, like, it wasn't a Hail Mary. It became a Hail Mary because Hop and Kyler, but it wasn't. And that was, you know, kind of one of those moments where you're like, man, that's why you took that kid number one, because coach called the play and designed a play, and it probably wasn't going to be a great one, but here they are celebrating because of the talent that those two had.
Dan Orlovsky here with us on Janae and Golic Jr., our own ESPN NFL analyst and also co-host of NFL Live. Now, Dan, what did you see? You're sort of like, you have x-ray vision when it comes to breaking down plays of that magnitude. What did you see and how they were able to just really get it done in that moment?
Yeah, I mean, I'm like that because I ran a 6.2 40 as a sophomore in high school. So, like, it was real obvious physically I wasn't going to be something. So mentally, I better learn football pretty good. You know, Janae, like, this is what happened because, you know, the two plays before that, they got into the same formation and Kyler kind of ran around and threw a 5-yard completion of fits. The very next play, they got the same exact formation, trips receivers to one side and then Hop on the other side. And Buffalo was actually showing all out pressure. Everyone was going to blitz and they were going to play man coverage. Buffalo called timeout. And so Kyler goes to the sideline, conversations happen, and, you know, Cliff actually said, like, it was a little bit of a designed sprint out to his left. Like, they try to bait the defense in. They pull one of the guards to kind of seal off the inside so Kyler can run around the outside and create some space. And they were trying to hit Larry Fitzgerald on, like, a 20-yard crossing field pattern to get, like, another 20 yards to get certainly closer for a real Hail Mary. And what happens is Kyler, like, breaks the pocket. The defense wins the play because the guard can't make the block, and then Kyler makes that guy miss, and then all of a sudden Hop just, like, drifts towards the end zone. He's the only guy in the end zone. I mean, there's no other person in the end zone. He just throws up the Randy Moss hand, right? Like the, hey, I'm 2-on-1, just throw it up. And Kyler, just being a freak athlete, launches it into the perfect place. And then, like, I wish people can understand how difficult the throw is, but then, like, how difficult just timing the jump is. Like, you're timing your jump. You're fighting for space. You got to rise up with three other people around you to make that catch. Like, it was, it, like, one of those moments where you go, like, man, there's only a handful of people on the planet that can do stuff like that. And that's how they made it happen. It was just those guys being so significantly superior athletically.
Dan Orlovsky with us here on Janae and Golic Jr., Mike Golic Jr. and Janae Agumake on ESPN Radio. And Dan, from that offensive production and firepower to whatever we saw last night on Monday Night Football was a difficult transition, man. Dan, I'm genuinely at a loss at this point. For the Chicago Bears, offensively, there is a lot wrong right now. As they go and start to look, I mean, it doesn't seem like something you can fix now. What do they need to start with doing to try and get this ship righted at some point going forward?
Yeah, I mean, I'd say this. Like, first of all, if we're just going to go to the field offensively, right, they got a championship defense. You know this, Mike. Like, when you have a really good offensive line, everybody around that offensive line, their strengths are accentuated, right? Everyone's better because of that offensive line. When you have a bad offensive line, all the weaknesses are magnified. And so the weaknesses of the quarterback, the receivers, all getting magnified because the Bears' offensive line is poor. Then you attach it to a scheme that is poor. They got a poor scheme. They got no identity. They don't know what they're doing. They bring the receivers in these condensed splits, and that just makes it harder on everybody. And then you've got a coach that doesn't really know how to call plays on a good rhythm. So, like, you've got to blow it all up. I mean, that is, you know, unquestionably what has to happen. They're going to have to blow it all up. And, you know, for Ryan Pace, their general manager, Mike, it's weird because you go, okay, you put a lot of the pieces of that defense together, right? Like, you did a good job building that defense, but our offense is a joke. So do you believe in the general manager that he can fix the offense? They got to get a new head coach. You know, Matt Nagy's not cutting it as a head coach. And then I think this is a fair question to ask. Like, is Mitchell Trubisky a lot better than what the Bears kind of presented him to be? They were better with Mitchell Trubisky. 2 years ago, they're a two seed in the playoffs with Mitchell Trubisky. Last year, they didn't use him the right way and still were trending or fighting for a playoff spot. And then this year, they were 3-0 or 2.5-0 with Mitchell Trubisky. And so, like, now the question for me is, like, is Trubisky a lot better or certainly better than what Chicago kind of allowed him to be? And that becomes a completely different, you know, door that they might have to cross or climb through with this offseason, because I don't think that I consider and say they're a playoff team anymore with that offense.
Sounds like a trap door, Dan. And we don't have much time, but I wanted to get you with this question.
Now.
I wanted to get you with this question before we leave. You know, speaking of a different transition, though, Drew Brees dealing with an injury, and in comes Jameis Winston. And we just had DeMario Davis on, who said that Jameis could really provide the energy that their team needs to keep moving forward. What are your thoughts on Jameis stepping in?
I mean, this is exactly why Jameis, if you went, go back to why, when he chose New Orleans, it was he took less money for the opportunity to go learn there. Well, here you go. Like, this is in the NFL, you don't get these opportunities. Like, this doesn't fall to you like this, especially at the quarterback spot. So this is the opportunity he went there for. All he has to do, Janae, is this. Don't be the reason they lose. Don't be the reason they lose. Like, Teddy Bridgewater last year was good. He just wasn't the reason they lost. And then they end up going 5-0 because they're a good team that's well coached and got good players. Don't be the reason they lose. If he just goes in there with that mindset, they'll win some games. They'll certainly continue to sprinkle probably a little bit more of Taysom Hill. But if Jameis does that, you're looking at the number one free agent at the quarterback position next year because of it. And it's a great opportunity for him.
We're excited to watch it. No doubt we hope Drew Brees has a speedy recovery. But in the meantime, you're right, a major opportunity. Always a pleasure, Dan. You can check him out on NFL Live every day at 4 Eastern. We'll talk to you soon, buddy.
Thanks, Dan.
Later, squad.
Dan Orlovsky, our ESPN NFL analyst, with us here on Chiney and Golic Jr. All the breakdowns you need, Dan has got that on lock. Check him out at DanOrlovsky7 on Twitter for that. But we go from the highest of highs to the lowest of lows. Coming up next, Chiney is going to walk us through the bottom five from the NFL weekend that was. That's next here on Chiney and Golic Jr.
Chiney and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Engel Jr. here on ESPN Radio. A little bit here. We'll get back to trying to figure out how to prepare Chiney properly for when James Harden leaves the Houston Rockets, because it's coming. It's happening. I'm going to speak it into existence because, as you know, I'm a chaos agent, and I need this in the NBA. I don't care how they get it done. I don't care what it takes. We need to get him to Brooklyn. We need to find a way, Chiney.
Look, I'm cool as long as we get something back, not just, like, do something haphazardly. So I'm okay, but then again, when it happens, I'm going to go nuts.
We'll just give you all of the non-Kyrie and Kevin Durant nets, and we'll call it a day, and everyone will be good to go. We're presented by Progressive Insurance, and now it's time to get to the important business at hand here. It is top five, bottom five in the NFL on a Tuesday, every Tuesday here at Chiney and Golic Jr. I, being the ray of sunshine, gave you the top five before. Chiney is going to try and give you the bottom five here and now.
Which teams were great?
Breaks a tackle at the 15, 10, 5, touchdown!
What player was not?
Does he hang on? Intercepted! He couldn't hang on!
This is the NFL Top 5, Bottom 5.
Started at the bottom, still at the bottom. That's the remix, okay? So how about this? Let's start with number 5.
Number 5.
Will the real MVP please stand up? Please stand up in the NFL, because it's been a rough week for those guys. Let's talk about Lamar Jackson, just because, you know, we gave it to the rain, but still you're losing, and also losing much needed ground in your division, especially with the Steelers looking pretty good, still undefeated. And also Russell Wilson, a guy that we've said, you know, Lamar being the reigning MVP, and we sort of dubbed the first quarter of the season MVP in Russell Wilson. He's also in a position where he's not looking good in his division, and he's now tied with Arizona and Los Angeles, and he's committing way too many turnovers. I said since week six in the bye, or week six action, he's had almost as many turnovers as touchdowns. So these guys in the MVP conversation have really sort of taken a step back, but there's still much season left, but these MVPs unfortunately, are in the bottom.
It's so true, though, Chiney, especially about Russ. I mean, the first half of the season, we looked at his body of work and said we made all the jokes about him not getting an MVP vote before, but it really since has been a difficult go for a team that has very little defense to rely on.
Number four, please.
Number four.
All right, this one's funny, and it's kind of Philly, okay? Talking about practice, not the game. I'm talking actually about practice because I'm going to say the coaches take another L, and I love to see this because I love to see when there's someone out there that sort of defies the practice odds. All right, and this week it's Big Ben Roethlisberger because after not practicing due to the Bengals, what did he do? He went out there. 27 for 46, 333 yards, 4 touchdowns, and 0 interceptions. So for those who say you need a practice to prepare, we do, but not really though. Not really though.
Preseason might have died this year for everyone in the NFL, and sure as hell, Ben Roethlisberger is taking a long, cold, hard stare at practice and going, what?
I'm telling you, for sure. Next.
Number three.
You know, music is in my blood. Music is in my blood, and I sort of came up with this dub being Young Locke, sort of like Young Jock, because he loves Jeezy. You get what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah, okay. All right, I'll give that one to you.
And the Denver Broncos right now, I think they're really struggling, but it starts at the quarterback position because they lose to the Raiders, and what does he do? He throws 4 interceptions. This is the same division where you have Patrick Mahomes, you also have Justin Herbert, you also have Derek Carr, who's trending upward. And so in a situation where there was a lot of energy going into this year, I know they're dealing with a lot on the injury front. He only has 7 passing touchdowns compared to 9 interceptions, and he has one of the worst passer ratings. So it's been a rough go for Drew Lock, even though he's Young Lock still in my book.
He's still Young Lock, and we still respect that. Swaggy sideline dance moves are welcome around these parts. But Chiney, this was the team that I know a lot of us talked about, the Arizona Cardinals as a dark horse team. Kyler Murray certainly further along in his journey, but people were excited about the offensive weapons they'd amassed in Denver. We knew defense was probably going to be pretty stable, especially with Vic Fangio at the helm. But it has been a tough go of it right now, and I'm sure they're going to give him more time to develop. But, man, John Elway has got to be nervous at this point in time, knowing what's at stake for him.
Super nervous. And anytime I played in the Pac-12, especially in that vicinity, I'd be like, it's the altitude, y'all. It's the altitude, okay? But maybe it's the attitude. We got to shift it more to positivity.
Mm.
Number two, please.
Number two.
Okay. I'm glad we sort of punted on this with Dan Orlovsky because I don't want to kick someone when they're down. Carson Wentz. Another rough week for Carson Wentz because it's not just losing. It's who you lose to, losing to the Giants. You have also Doug Peterson, coach wilding out, the media wilding out. And in the game versus the Giants, the Eagles were 0 for 9 on third downs. It was the first time since 2004 that the Eagles did not convert a third down. Again, first. The Giants. I don't know how you feel good about that.
Yeah, no, there's nothing to feel good about right now, and I'm glad we let Dan Orlovsky off his daily duty of giving the State of the Union when it comes to Carson Wentz, but it's just been a struggle all the way around right now for a team that it seems like eons ago was winning the Super Bowl and near the top of that division, and hell, even this year we expected to be at the top of the division right along with Dallas. So I'm with you, and I don't know what the easy fix looks like, Chiney, is hopefully they start to get healthier and maybe at some point this gels together. It is the NFC, so they're going to have every shot in the world.
The NFC least. And last but not least, this one, Junior, it really actually hurts my heart to do this.
Number one.
Oh, no.
I am so, so sorry, Christine. Oh. I am so, so sorry I put you in the end zone, but I didn't mean like this. I didn't mean on the other end of the spectrum.
Oh,
number
no.
one worst things in the NFL this week, the 3+ defenders around Hop, around Nukes, DeAndre Hopkins. I mean, this was an amazing Hail Mary, as we've called it, but it hurt in the worst way for the Bills because you go from a situation where you're potentially 8-2 to now 7-3. And I believe half game behind, Miami's half game behind now with all the momentum. All on one play. So I'm sorry, Christine, but so far, I think that was the worst thing. If you're a Bills fan, losing that way and also losing a lot of wiggle room in your division as well.
I'm very afraid to look to my left where Christine Lisi is sitting right now. I just imagine she is going to be coming into this room with a chair at some point to end me for what has now been 2 times where we have unfortunately brought up the moment not to be spoken of ever again after this on this show out of respect for Christine Lisi.
Yeah, big respect. I put in the end zone, but it was not like this. Again, rough week for the MVPs, Lamar and Russ, and then we've talked about practice for the win or the loss, however you call it. Drew Lock, then Carson Wentz, and then, of course, the Bills, unfortunately. More like a dollar bill or something.
Yeah.
Not big bills.
Oh, my God. Why are you just letting... It's like you've been saving this all up right now. Oh, my God.
Look what you're rubbing off on me.
Let the record show. Those are not my words. I do not endorse Bill's slander around here. Proud friend of Bill's Mafia and trying to keep it that way. Fair. We're trying to see if Houston can keep anything the same at this point, as it seems like their foundation is cracking underneath them. Next on Chenea and Golic Jr.